Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, the Pips, the Players, the Hustlers, the Podcasters, the People That Bust Them, and everybody else in between, including Rick, Sarah, Tellis, and Twisted Tuesday. Let's do this thing. Yeah, the countdown to the draft has already begun, baby. Countdown to Grey Cup is on. College football starting to get real right now. And hard to believe, man, but we're going into week five. Week five of the National Football League. Rick Saratella in the house. What's going on, Rick? Thanks for joining me, man.
Gabe, what's happening, man? We're rolling through the first month of the football season. Can't believe it's October already. I mean, the football season just passes us by in the blink of an eye. And, man, looking forward to chopping it up with you.
Yeah, it really is wild how quickly this, you know, how life goes and how, you know, how fast the calendar can move. But here we are going into week five of the National Football League regular season, and there's already talk about the upcoming draft and quarterbacks and what our team's going to do, especially after we've watched. There's just so many bad teams in the National Football League right now, Rick. And when you look at this draft, and we never really know, so I'm not disparaging the players on the board in this draft, but are there any franchise changers in this year's upcoming National Football League draft at any position, quite frankly, right? Like when you look at the talent and you look at the players there, it's not like a bunch of players are sort of jumping off the screen at me here, Rick.
Yeah, if you're expecting to see blue chip type of talent such as Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, you're not going to find that in this year's draft. And they will give you Caleb Downs, who could be the first safety selected number one overall since 1970. Big time pedigree out of Ohio State, played a big role there for the championship. Reuben Bain is another guy catapulting up draft boards out of Miami. But, you know, more importantly, Gabe, like when you take a look at the quarterback class, like I can't remember. Usually there's a pretty consensus feel for who the top quarterback will be. I'm not sure there's any franchise signal callers in this year's NFL draft. And it's about as wide open as I can remember 5 weeks through the college football season. I mean, you could ask six different scouts who the top quarterback is and get six different answers.
Well, if you look at the updated odds right now for the NFL draft, Fernando Mendoza, former Cal quarterback, Indiana Hoosier quarterback right now, is the favorite to be the top pick in the draft at plus 300. Now, we should note, last year around this time, Quinn Ewers and Carson Beck, right, were favorites to be the number one pick. So this is a very, very fluid market, and you have to have patience, obviously, because the draft obviously isn't until April, but you really can get some really big numbers with players. It's like a stock market. It really changes a lot. Like, you know, Mendoza wasn't even being talked about a couple of weeks ago, right? And then suddenly, boom, here he is right now as the favorite. Things can change quickly. So Mendoza's the favorite right now. Is he a franchise changer? Well, I don't think so, but he's the favorite to be the number one pick right now. Lenoris Sellers is plus 375. So he's like the second favorite to be the number one pick. Nussmeier plus 425, and I'm surprised that Nussmeier's stock hasn't dropped more than that. But a player that everybody's talking about, and you got to love how, you know, society is, right? I guess it's the same thing. It could be the same thing with a band. They could be right there. Nobody ever talks about them, but they hear one song they like, and suddenly, oh, did you hear about this new band? It seems to me like a lot of people don't know who Dante Moore is, and we're kind of surprised that Dante Moore was good. But dude, Dante Moore was one of the top recruits in the country, guys, a couple of years ago. Michigan tried to get him. He's from Michigan. He was one of those kids that wanted the West Coast, like grew up in Michigan, wanted out of Michigan, wanted to experience like a different lifestyle and nicer weather. So he went to UCLA under Chip Kelly. He clashed with Kelly. He ends up transferring to the Ducks, sat behind Dylan Gabriel last year. And I always wondered, Rick, I'm like, how good is this kid if he's willing not to play for so long? I thought the same thing about Arch Manning. I'm like, all right, if he's all that, like, why would the Manning family not just say, no, he's got to play and he's just too good. He doesn't need to season for a couple of years. And I kind of wondered about Dante Moore, but I guess I don't have to wonder about Dante Moore. And sitting behind Dylan Gabriel in that system and soaking it all up has obviously helped him. But the athletic ability is there. The ice in the vein stuff is there, Rick, as we just saw him go into Happy Valley and beat 100,000 people under extreme duress.
No rattle whatsoever. You talk about it. Ice water flowing through his veins. You heard Dan Lanning after the game talk about, we have the best quarterback in college football. And I'm a believer. This is not a one-hit wonder. Dante Moore, I mean, he's got as good a shot as anybody to be the number one overall pick. And why not? He was masterful, slicing and dicing the Penn State Nittany Lions. Feeling no pressure at all under a lot of duress. They have a great defense. And, you know, he came out on top in a QB matchup where just a couple weeks ago there was NFL scouts talking about Drew Allar being the number one quarterback in this year's draft. And I don't think anybody feels that way after watching these two side by side. I clearly thought Dante Moore was the better pro prospect. And you look at who's ahead of him, like Mendoza, I think he'll get labeled a little bit as a system quarterback. Lenora Sellers, I think there's a lot of Anthony Richardson there where you're betting on the upside. He really hasn't delivered this year. He had that nasty head injury a couple weeks ago. And then Nussmeier, who's just played very poorly. He's going to shut it down this week during the bye week. He's got a torso injury. He's got a patellar knee injury. You wonder about the durability that is of Garrett Nussmeier moving forward. So why not Dante Moore?
It's almost a process of elimination. John Mateer's on the board. John Mateer injured right now. And you know, I get it, but it's a little bit premature to say that John Mateer is going to be the number one pick in a National Football League draft. Drew Aller's one of these guys to me that he looks the part and somebody's going to like him, but I don't know. I almost feel like you're drafting an ex Will Levis or something. Like,
he's more Christian Hackenberg than he is Kerry Collins. I'll say that.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny you bring those two up because it's amazing. Penn State just haven't had any success at the quarterback position with a, you know, a skilled big time quarterback. And you go down the list, you mentioned, so Reuben Bain Jr. Okay. Not quarterback. Arch Manning, who doesn't look like he's anything ready to be the, you know, the number one pick in the National Football League draft. Which leads us to a guy, Rick, which I don't understand. I brought up Carson Beck earlier in the week to someone, and they kind of scoffed. But you and I both know. A lot of people are frauds and don't really know anything. Like, I'll be real. It's being real, Rick. They pretend, yeah. Oh, I watch college football. No, you don't. Like, yeah, you watch for half an hour or something. Okay, good for you. Right? But it's funny, like, when you hear, like, oh, Carson Beck, wow, he really struggled. Oh, he really did this. It's like, well, you obviously don't really know very much, do you, right now? Because he's number one on the NFL draft board, according to the scouts. And we just went through all these quarterbacks. Carson Beck is better than all of them. You know, we could talk about Dante Moore's upside, but you want to talk about a NFL-ready quarterback that can make the throws, that can understand a playbook, that has a high football IQ. That's Carson Beck.
Yeah, he's battle-tested. He's experienced. He brings big-time pedigree. And he makes few mistakes. And to me, that equates to the most pro-ready quarterback in terms of being able to step in from day one and start.
Actually, he doesn't really force balls and stuff. He'll throw it out of bounds. He is pretty, like, he doesn't make a lot of mistakes.
He gets it. If I had the number one pick and I was starting a franchise, you know, the draft is 205 days away. But if I was starting tomorrow, Carson Beck, to me, is clearly the most ready quarterback. And you talk about all these other guys that we mentioned, you're betting on that dangerous P word, which is potential. But Carson Beck has done it. He's done it at a high level. He's played in big games at Georgia. And now he's got the Hurricanes knocking on a national championship door. And that would just be the icing on the cake if he can deliver a natty.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. You look at a lot of these quarterbacks, guys, they're all good. But you know what they look like to me, Rick? College quarterbacks. You know what I mean? College quarterbacks. Like I look at Carson Beck and I see an NFL quarterback. Like you said, all right, Lenore Sellers is super athletic and, you know, he'll probably end up getting a GM fired if he goes that high in the draft. Right? Like there's a difference between being a good kid and a nice guy. Nussmeier, I just don't see it. Like I thought he was overhyped to begin with. John Mateer, I like John Mateer. You know, what do you think about John Mateer? Not as the number one pick, but does John Mateer's game, I guess that's my question, does his game translate to the pro level, John Mateer?
Yeah, see, I'm with you. I think he's a great college player, Gabe, but in terms of reading defenses, progressing through that first read, he's more of a tuck and run guy if the first read isn't there. He's more of a playmaking point guard, dual threat, can beat you with the legs. And if the first read is open, great, he'll hit it. But I just think he has so much development to go. He's out at least 2 weeks, maybe 4 weeks with the broken right hand. I don't see how he's even in the first round equation at this point, never mind the number one overall pick. Now, again, does he have the tools? Can he progress and develop to be a first round quarterback? Absolutely. I just can't put him in that category right now.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Now, I'm not saying this next guy is the number one pick, but we're looking at the number one pick odds. He's 25-1 right now. I like him, though, in Maeva. Maeva, the quarterback of the USC Trojans. But the question is he a system quarterback, right? Is this just sort of one of these, well, he's in Lincoln Riley's system, but he can sling it. And, I wanted to ask you about, like, who he's slinging it to. That Lemon kid is a stud, bro, on USC. All he does is get open. And I know, Amon-Ra St. Brown played there as well, so it's kind of a lazy comparison in a sense, but he kind of reminds me of St. Brown, though. He's got the same body type.
Yep.
The physicality in which, he'll go in there and sort of the one-on-one, the contested catches, but not like the jump balls, Rick, but like the routes in which he'll step in front of you, he'll shield you, he'll block out. Like, I'm not a wide receiver coach, but it looks to me like Lemon, like, he's got like the fundamental skills and the it factor, but like the footwork and the placement, just getting open in those tight spots as quickly as he does. Super impressive.
Yeah. Savvy route runner that Mekhi Lemon can create separation coming out of his breaks. He's got tremendous speed and, he's got a great counterpart in Jacoby Lane, who looks like Megatron, hasn't actually played that way, but in terms of size, he's a big body, vertical, athletic wide receiver, two good targets for Jordan Maeva, who, if you're going to be dubbed a system quarterback, well, Lincoln Riley's a pretty good system quarterback to be labeled on, because he does have five quarterbacks currently starting in the National Football League. And I think you got to pay attention to Jordan Maeva. He cracked our top 10 quarterback big board this week. He's been playing very well. And I think a lot of people don't see him because he's out there playing late night on the West Coast. But again, you see guys every year come out of nowhere and catapult to the top of the draft board. Jordan Maeva could be that guy. Dante Moore could be that guy. And I think there's going to be a lot of decision makers really studying hard on Maeva, because Lincoln Riley does have a track record.
Just for the record, Jaden, not Jordan, Jaden.
Yeah.
Jaden Maeva. Although very, 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 very similar. It's like DeMond and Desmond Williams, in which I think I've called him Desmond, DeMond. I think I've called them both before. But Maeva came from UNLV. So, it wasn't like he was a massive recruit or anything like that. I mean, let's be real. He was the UNLV running Rebel quarterback, and he was good enough to transfer to USC, but he makes the plays, right? He's got the body size. He makes the plays. He's playing under pressure situations. Wasn't his fault they lost to Illinois. He actually led the drive down the field with like a minute left before. So, and he's got an opportunity. The thing with Maeva is he's got a real showcase opportunity to impress people. He's playing against Michigan in a couple of weeks. They're playing against Notre Dame. These are high-profile games against respected defenses that are somewhat comparable, at least to know, okay, what's he going to do against an elite defense? So I'm intrigued by Maeva. But one thing about Carson Beck, guys, all you need to know about these odds, like, don't think because you look at the odds that they mean anything. Like, Carson Beck yesterday, earlier in the week, I was talking about these odds, Rick. Carson Beck was 12-1. Now he's 22-1. So what has Carson Beck done negatively in the last 24 to 48 hours without playing a game to fall to 22-1, right? I mean, they're dumb, these numbers. But that's what I'm saying. You can really get some big-time numbers on players. And as far as Dante Moore is concerned, so everybody, we talked about him. Everyone loves him. We obviously like what we saw. He's got the poise. He's got the athletic ability. But he is still inexperienced. He is still pretty raw. But I guess you can make the argument, yeah, so what? He's still better. Like, if you ask, like, NFL, if you asked an NFL general manager or a bunch of scouts right now, would you rather have Dante Moore as your quarterback in 2 years or Garrett Nussmeier? I think they would say Moore. Or Lenore Sellers. Like, Moore is the definition of the modern quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess you can make an argument that, yeah, he's got something to think about, but I got to bring this up, Rick, and you know it as well as I do. The new world, the new reality, he'll make more money returning to college than he would playing as a rookie in the NFL. And I know he gets, like, the signing bonus and all that, but, like, Dante Moore could literally probably make like $7 million next year if he returned to college. So, you know, it's not going to be like a monetary decision, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, he's got a couple years of eligibility, so he could probably pocket $10, $20 million in the next 2 years and then go on to have a successful NFL career. And that's now the new modern-day X factor, right? Like, John Mateer is another one, redshirt sophomore. Like, I would imagine Oklahoma is going to have a nice NIL paycheck waiting at the end of the season.
Oh, they're not going to want to lose him now that they're back. Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, we'll give you $5 million. We'll give you $5 million, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, and that's the thing is, like, we're talking about all these quarterbacks. A lot of them do have eligibility remaining and are underclassmen. And, you know, Sellers, I don't really see, like, I don't see a franchise quarterback when I watch him play. I see flashes, right? Just like Drew Allar, you see flashes like, wow, that was a good throw. And then the next three plays, you're kind of scratching your head like, well, what was that? You know, I don't think it's going to be a star-studded quarterback class. Like, when I do my next mock draft, I'm going to have a hard time justifying putting these guys in the first round. Now, you look around the league at the top of the draft specifically, it looks like the Saints and Jets are going to be vying for that number one spot, and each team desperately needs a quarterback. So sometimes you got to fit a square peg into a round hole and try to find out who has the fewest warts. But I'm with you. As of today, I like Carson Beck better than all of them in terms of upside. It's Dante Moore. And let's remember, too, the Big Ten schedule – that's a gauntlet. They're going to be in the college football playoffs. He's going to have 13, 14 starts under his belt by the end of the season.
Big time starts on national television under the microscope that the people will be able to see. Yet, listen, me and Rick do this on a weekly basis, but I'll also tell you that all these odds are crazy and all this analysis is also crazy, right, Rick? Like, you know, like I'm buddies with Rick's our boy Brent Beard. And he's a Heisman Trophy voter, and he always, like, legit laughs at people talking about who's going to win the Heisman in, like, week 4, week 5, week 6. Like, he's like, Gabe, it's week 10, and I don't know who's going to win the Heisman. People are talking about this stuff, but that's what we do, and that's what we got to do. But the games are getting real now, right? I mean, it's almost like last week was kind of the first week, the last 2 weeks, or, you know, last week for real, where there's no more cupcakes. So we're actually going to see these players against, you know, equal competition, because it's easy to look good. Like, ask Matt Rhule. I could beat Houston Christian by 60. Can you beat Michigan's another story?
Well, yeah, and Mendoza, he was one. He had three layup games right before he really faced a tough defense in Illinois. And that's the thing when you take a look at who you're playing. And I think this week, you know, I do think Miami was on the bye last week. Maybe that's why Beck's odds went down. But they got Florida State. Right, coming off.
I love that, Rick. That's all it takes. Yeah. You have a bye week and you fall. That just goes to show my point about getting value with the odds, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. If you're out of sight, out of mind, and he'll be back on the mind, because Florida State, and they came off that, they're going to be pissed off coming off that Virginia loss on Friday Night Lights. Florida State's going to be at home. And if Carson Beck goes in there, it's just another notch under the resume.
Rick Saratella kicking it with us. So speaking of the National Football League right now, Philadelphia Eagles keep winning games, but it's one of these, and I got to give them credit. At some point, whatever, I've got to just say, I'm wrong. I've got to stop betting against them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I took the LA Rams. I'm like, this is the week. I said, yeah, the bubble burst. This is the week. They're really not playing great, but they're, you know, they're finding ways to win football games. What happens? You know, they're down by 19. They come back. They block the field goal. and you know, the rest is history. Tampa Bay, from a betting perspective, you know what? I think Tampa plus 3.5, kind of a live dog. Mm-hmm. They did come on as the game went on, but they spotted the Eagles, the early lead, and it was too much to overcome. But long story short, the Eagles are not playing well on offense. Let's focus in on the offense. They've got offensive issues for real. They've been out-yarded in every game this year, but they find ways to win. How long do you think that they get better, or is this bubble about to burst in Philadelphia? Because they're kind of – they're living on – there's two ways of looking at it, Rick. Are they living on the edge right now, or are they just that damn good? Like, what's – you know what I mean? Like, is this bubble burst, or are they just going to keep on doing what they do?
Oh, no, I don't have any doubt the Eagles are for real again, and it's led by Jalen Hurts, who's just a masterful mind in the NFL. But I think, you know, it reminds me, Gabe, you know, remember those early Patriots Super Bowl teams where almost on a weekly basis they'd have a different identity on offense. One week they'd come out and throw it all over the field. The next week they would run the ball and you say, oh, man, it looks like a totally different team. So I think in a way it's kind of by design. They've game planned incredibly well for their opponent week in and week out. And sometimes it's the run game. Sometimes it's the pass game. Sometimes it's just Jalen Hurts taking over. And you saw this past week, they added a new wrinkle to the tush push with Dallas Goedert getting in there behind under center. And, you know, everybody running back to the locker room this week was in jubilation and joy and celebrating, except for A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. These two walked back to the locker room, head down, pissed off because they didn't get enough targets. And we've seen this from A.J. Brown before. And he posts these cryptic social media messages. Nick Sirianni got asked about it yesterday in his press conference. He said, no, I spoke to A.J. Don't worry. He wants to be here. And I give Sirianni a lot of credit because you've had a lot of big personalities in that locker room come through over the years. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, the defensive end, Brandon Graham. I mean, mega personalities.
And all the kids from Georgia. Jalen Carter.
Big personalities. And so, you know, that's the thing when you have a diva wide receiver. Now, I heard an interesting comment from Jason Avant, and he actually said it looked like A.J. Brown had quit on several routes in that game. And that's surprising because 2 weeks ago he took over the fourth quarter. He was a man child, a man amongst boys, taking over the fourth quarter. But some criticism here with A.J. Brown: is his game in the head? Is his mental in the head? You know, he said something after the Super Bowl that caught my attention, Gabe. He said, you know, the Super Bowl win, it was cool and all, but it was really short-lived. He said, after about 2 days, I got over that feeling. He goes, I thrive more off of personal accolades and winning my one-on-ones. And that just gives you a glimpse into the mentality of A.J. Brown. He'd rather receive the
personal. I remember the interview and the comments that he made. He said, I didn't care. He goes, yeah, it was cool. I saw the interview too. He goes, yeah, it was cool after we won and the confetti's coming down and stuff. 2 days later, he goes, I really don't give a shit, though, about winning the Super Bowl. And then he goes, you're bang on, Rick. He said, I don't care. I really don't care. He goes, it's cool. I like to win. But he goes, I really don't care. He goes, I got goals that I need to accomplish, and I want to light people up.
That's right. With different spin.
I got goals. It wasn't like to win again. And then, but he did say, though, I don't like, he goes, I like starting over. So let's give him a little credit too. He didn't say fully like, oh, I don't care if I ever win again. He did say, you know, I sort of like, you know, starting over and everybody else. Yeah, he sort of sold it like everybody else is in Vegas partying right now and I don't care. Like I'm here and I'm thinking about like how many balls I can catch. So yeah, his quote after, in which he posted, if you're not welcomed, quietly withdraw. He's getting philosophical. All these books he's reading, Rick. He's getting deeper, AJ.
Well, I heard it was a Bible verse. I can't confirm that 100%. But, you know, Seth Joyner had an interesting comment that he's been publicly preaching his faith in God and maybe he should get back into the Bible and preach what he teaches and be a good, consummate teammate. But, you know, listen, when one of your star players is unhappy, there's a trickle-down effect inside the locker room. And it, as you know, it just takes one bad apple to spoil a bunch. Now, I don't think that's going to happen in Philadelphia because they got a championship pedigree. They got
This happens like once a month with him every year, right? It's just a thing. Exactly.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
They'll get it together, though. They'll be okay. You know, you're right, though. Like, you look at the Rams. This is, they're not going to lose many games. Maybe this is the one. Bucks were a little banged up. I actually took the 3.5 myself. But, I won't make the mistake of betting against the Philadelphia Eagles again. I don't know if they lose a game this year. We'll see.
Well, they're playing my Buffalo Bills, so they're definitely going to lose at least one game. But the Bills and Eagles are the only undefeated teams in the National Football League yet. And I say this with all, and, you know, I call it like it is. I don't know how good the Buffalo Bills are, right? We don't know. You know what I mean? What's their best win? All right, you beat the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are giving up 33 points a game. And you were getting killed in that game. Like, so that's your, like, you know what I mean? If we're talking like college football here, if we're doing like, all right, we're looking at the rankings and they played a bunch of patsies, bro. Like, you know, the Buffalo Bills have played a bunch of MAC teams, the New Orleans Saints, the Miami Dolphins, the New York Jets, and the Baltimore Ravens. Let's call them Texas because they're supposed to be good, but it was week one and whatever. Like, what do you think of the Buffalo Bills? I know you're not a big McDermott guy, Rick. So, no. As I stated, the Bills are 4-0, but I'm not sitting here thinking, oh, yeah, we're unstoppable and we're the team to beat. We haven't beaten anybody. We haven't played anybody yet.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, give Josh Allen credit because it's a no-name cast of characters that he's throwing to. When Khalil Shakir is your number one wide receiver, that's not a very strong squad, but they do find a way to get it done. I will say this, you know, they tend to – occasionally play down to their opponent, right? Like they
Occasionally, Rick. That's they play up or down. That's what they do, bro.
Yeah.
If they're playing a good team, you'll get the OC. You'll be like, wow, the Bills are good. Like you watch them play some of these other teams and you're like, I don't know how this team wins 13 games every year. Like, you know
what I mean? And that's the head scratcher, right? It's like they get up for the big games, they get down on the bad teams. You know, the Saints, they couldn't blow them out of the water. You know, they tend to play the Jets.
At least
evenly.
The Saints play for Kellen Moore, though. Hey, like they don't quit that team. They're an easy team to like, actually, the Saints. Like just with their personality, they're kind of screwed. They're like the poor kids that have no money at the dance. It's like, yeah, we know you got no money, but we're gonna let you in. Like, you know what I mean? Like they really don't have anything, but they battle. And you know, one thing, guys, the Bills, and I don't feel bad about it. The Bills finally got this crazy soft schedule this year that really could work out for them where they could run the table. Like you talked about being undefeated. I'm not saying the Bills are undefeated, right? But I'll be disappointed if they're not like 15-2 type thing. Like there's no reason not to. Look at their schedule. Up next is the Patriots on Sunday Night Football in Buffalo. Then they go to Atlanta. Then they get a bye week. Then they go to the Carolina Panthers. They host the Kansas City Chiefs at Miami. All right, they host Tampa. That's a scrappy bunch. They go to Houston, which has given the Bills problems, but it gets a little tougher at the end. At Pittsburgh versus Cincinnati is a clown show now. The Cleveland Browns, the New York Jets again, and they play against the Eagles, but the Eagle game is Sunday, December 28th, which stuff could be wrapped up by then for both teams, Rick. So I'm not even sure what that game will mean.
Yeah, I mean, I fully expect them. I think this will be their sixth straight division title, but they got no hardware to show for it, right? And I just wonder, like we've talked about, I'm not a fan of McDermott. I don't think he's a great leader. I don't think he's that good of a coach. I think he benefits from having Josh Allen. And if they can't get it done this year, Gabe, like I think John Gruden needs to come in and take this team over the hump. That's what I would like to see.
All right, so we'll wrap it up with that. I'll ask you, do you think John Gruden ends up back in the NFL? College football, or none of the above, and he actually doesn't return to coaching?
I think John Gruden wants to coach so bad, Gabe, that he'll take the first job offered to him. I think he's cut out for the NFL, but you know, his last stint wasn't great. Could he succeed in college? Like, I know he's been a hot name for the Florida Gators if they get rid of Billy Napier. You know, who knows? Maybe the Dolphins. I just want to see him back in the game because I think the game of football is better with John Gruden, and he's got a lot to offer.
Yeah, I think he's blackballed from the National Football League, right? You sued them, you won, you got money from them. Owners don't like, they'll be like, ah, yeah, we're done with him. Like, but, and also, I don't really think, like, they think, oh, he's some horrible person. I think it's just sort of, you know, it is what it is, like any industry. It's like if you're a radio host, like, you know, radio host, oh, I'm going to sue the station, they fired me or this. It's like, all right, yeah, you might have a case against somebody, but you'll never get hired again because, you know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those deals. And honestly, too, he wasn't that good in the NFL anymore, Gruden. I think he's perfect for college. When I don't, and I'll say this, Rick, I don't think, I know what you mean as far as, you know, he'll take any job, but he's not in the same position Belichick is in. And it sounds crazy to say that, but Belichick's like an old man. He didn't have a lot of teams in the NFL that actually wanted him. So the window wasn't there. And I think Belichick really would have just said, yeah, I'd take anything. Like, you know, I think honestly, if like a MAC team, like if Akron, like he would have considered it. I think Gruden's in a spot where he can kick back, actually. I think he's in a spot, especially now, guys. It's a less political correct world suddenly, Rick. You know what I mean? Like, it's like it's gone from, you know, the over political correctness, and you can't say that, you can't do that. Now there's almost this, we're erasing all of that. And honestly, in college football, I talked about, like, there's college football coaches that have been caught doing hookers and giving hookers to the kids on their team and have been rehired. Hugh Freeze got hired at Liberty, the religious school. So
yeah, well, like, you know, Bobby Petrino is a head coach again.
Yeah, so Bobby Petrino's a coach right now. So, like, there's no ethical issue with Gruden. That's my whole point. He never did anything. So he used bad language and whatever. He talked the way people talk in a room, and like, it is what it is. But so I think he's back in college. And from what I understand, because I know UCLA brought it up, Rick, and stuff, and it's flashy. From what I get, he wants to be like Lane Kiffin. He wants to be in the SEC. Like, I don't know if Arkansas, what they're going to do. It seems like you said the Florida Gators are a perfect fit. They're just, you know, people are sort of waiting out this Alabama thing on a week-to-week basis, but the Boar got the big win last week.
Yeah.
But, yeah, fascinating to see how this plays out. Rick Saratella. Great stuff as always, Rick. Love talking football.
Always my pleasure, Gabe.
There's Rick Saratella with us. We bring in Cam Stewart right now. Cam, we had the doubleheader Monday night football. How did you do in the end with the two games on Monday night?
I did great with Denver, Gabe. It was also my survivor pick. Lost on the Jets on the point spread, but won the teaser. Thank God for the late points. That Justin Fields run was pretty special. But I'll tell you one thing, and you know this too. We talked about the Bengals going on to the end of the season and just scoring 3 points in that game, that offense. You know, we like Browning too, but they're just the communication with Chase and this team. Like, it's a train wreck right now. Their defense, Denver left a lot of points on the board too, due to penalty. Like, that could have been way worse than it was. And it's shocking to see the Cincinnati Bengals score 3 points, but yeah, on the whole, Gabe, it was a pretty good night. Glad the survivor won and glad the Bengals got smoked, because I needed Denver in a big way.
I've got three survivor teams still alive right now as well. And I got two of them in the $1 million contest at Bet Online. So I'm still alive for the million. In fact, let me check and see how many people left. Quite a few people have been eliminated, but not like last year. Like, last year's survivor was freaking crazy. Like, basically, like the Circa last year, I remember I was feeling all good about myself because I got into week three. Like, and last year, everybody got eliminated. Like, last year, the Bengals lost in week one that smashed people. And then the week two, like, a lot of people got eliminated. I actually made it to week three. This year, there hasn't been that sort of, you know, massive, oh, I can't believe, you know, the
like
survivor
the Saints
ball.
Beating the Bills. That would have been massive.
Green Bay beating Cleveland, Cam, but it wasn't like everybody had Green Bay. You know what I mean? Right. But there are quite a few people did. But even though there hasn't been that, like, that like super, super huge upset, it's been tricky. There hasn't been a lot of sort of, oh, that's the game to take for sure. There's been a few of them only. And this week is tough. So let's see here, Survivor. All right, we started off with 35,000 people. So I'm looking at the I'm looking at Bet Online right now. So there was 35,000 people, 35,498 people, $1 million to the winner. Winner take all. That's what I like about it, too. It's not like it's like $1 million to the winner. We've had 15,000 people eliminated. So we've got 20,000 survivors left, 20,259. This is going to be the weekend that there's going to be a ton of people that get eliminated in Survivor.
I agree.
If you look at the card this week in the NFL, there's no who are you taking in Survivor? What's the game you're going to take in Survivor right now?
Gabe, it's crazy. Like my Survivor, I wish there was a spread thing like on this thing because I've actually been just put like the best for like every time I take it, teams are winning by multiple points. It hasn't been close, but doesn't mean that. It's just about advancing and surviving. But I hate to say it, Gabe, I have to look at the Arizona Cardinals. Like I'm looking at Arizona against Tennessee and, you know, like that guy who won the Super Contest betting against the crappiest team. Like Arizona at home should win that game. Do you want to lay it with Indianapolis against the Raiders? I don't feel safe with that game. So, yeah, for me, I'm all in on Arizona. That's the one game. If you haven't taken Detroit against the Bengals, that would be my second option, Lions at Cincinnati.
And listen, I agree as far as Arizona is concerned, but I'll tell you what, 99.9% of the people are going to be on that game.
I know.
Because that's like the one. That's the only one where you look at it, it's like, yeah, okay, right?
Do I take the Bills? I haven't used the Bills. It's a divisional game, but aren't they due? And I was listening to you and Rick, and you guys brought up good points. Bills play to the level of their competition. The Saints, they are a team you could like because they worked their ass off in that game, and I was really impressed. But I have a feeling the Bills, like what they did to the Jets, are going to take the Patriots out to the woodshed. They need a game for their fans to feel good about themselves, and maybe they win this game by like 17 points, but it's hard. The Patriots always play Buffalo tough.
No, the thing is with the Buffalo Bills, They're not good as like massive favorites. They haven't been at home, and it's been a run now. They're actually 0-8 right now. The Buffalo Bills are on an 0-8 run, as 10-point favorites or more on their home field. So if Buffalo's a 10 or more point favorite on their home field, they don't cover. Like they are the kings of playing up or down to the level of their competition. But now you get a New England Patriot team, and you know, the Bills, the last couple of games that they played have been kind of close for whatever reason. You know, the Patriots won one of the games. Actually, the Bills didn't care. Like that, if you look, it was in January. The Bills didn't play anybody. So that's a deceptive one. But before that, 24-21, 27-21, sort of, and, you know, the Bills were big favorites, too. They won 24-21, guys, as 14-point favorites. They won 27-21 as 14.5-point favorites. They won 35-23 as 8-point favorites. Like, so yeah, they haven't really killed the Patriots, and the Patriots are better right now. But I kind of knew last week that it wasn't a good spot for the Bills against the Saints. This is a little different. Like Cam said, this is a division rival. They don't like the Patriots. They don't have any, they don't care about the Saints. There's no beef with the Saints. So like the Bills weren't like, oh, all fired up all week and we got to light them up. This is, you know, and the Patriots are good enough now that I think the Bills will take them serious. So I think the Bills will have a good week of practice this week. And yeah, like I said this, I think I said this yesterday to someone, Cam, that they asked me about the Bills game this week. And I said, I'll be honest with you, I would rather lay the points this week against the Patriots. I'd rather lay the, and it's down to 7.5 now. I'd rather lay 7.5 against the Patriots than 15.5 against the Saints.
Yep.
I knew that Saints spread was too high, and I had the Bills. I, you know, like I said, I got the Bills alive in one of my survivors. I didn't use them in all of them. I got three of them. But the strategy was, normally with Survivor, people get cocky, and they'll save teams. They'll be like, oh, I'm going to save this team for that week or save this team. And then they end up getting eliminated. And you're like, wow, I shouldn't have saved the Bills. I didn't even survive. Like, yep. So, you know, you could be patient about it. Like last year, like I said, everybody got eliminated right away. So it was like, man, you didn't want to be saving teams. You can also think you're going to be saving teams for something. All right, like how many people said, oh, I'm going to save this game or the Bengals game? Well, Joe Burrow's out right now. The Bengals aren't the same team anymore. They'll be in between now and the next month. There's going to be other quarterbacks to get hurt, and other team seasons are going to like, oh, my God, they were supposed to be good, or they were good, and they're not anymore. So I don't like to assume and look ahead too much with Survivor. I sort of go, all right, week by week, but I did waste too many good teams already. Like, I've already used the Buffalo Bills. I've used a couple of good teams. One thing I'll remind people that you've got to save for these contests. Like, you can't use any of the teams that are playing on Thanksgiving. Like, you need, if you plan on being alive, like, you better be having access to all those teams that are playing. Otherwise, like, you're going to be forced to take, like, oh, my God, I don't have any teams left. I have to take this one team. So that's like, there's a few things I'm conscious of, yeah, like, I know I should say the Bills, but I know the Bills are going to beat the Saints, so I'm just going to do it. But like I said, you got a Black Friday game. You got now three games on Thanksgiving and stuff. There's a lot of teams that are playing that you don't want to put yourself in a spot where you're screwed. You're like, oh, I don't have a choice. I have to take the Dolphins against the Chiefs now because I already took the Packers. I already took the Cowboys. I already took the Detroit Lions. Like, think about all the Thanksgiving type of teams that play, guys, and realize if you survive that long, you're going to need to pick a game like in those games.
You're right, Gabe. But I got to tell you, I used one thing. I took a chance in week one with Jacksonville, and they beat up Carolina. So the only team that I've used that's good is the Lions. I've used the Broncos, Seahawks, Jaguars, and Lions. So that's my four going into it. Still got the Bills. Yeah, you almost like, what do you do? You're right. Like, the Bills are a team. Like, I'm looking for another game. I love the Bills to murder the Patriots this week, but I don't want to use them. But I don't feel confident with any other team. Like, and Arizona is the death game. You said it. Everybody's going to be on Arizona. But I'm looking at it going, if I can get Arizona out of the way and they find a way to beat Tennessee, that's good. Survive in advance.
I might be ballsy and take the Dallas Cowboys to beat the New York Jets.
Oh, God. Yeah.
That's not a lot of people want to do because they're only 2-point favorites. Yeah.
That's what I did with the Jags week one, 3-point favorites and stuff. Hey, sometimes it's one of those games. It's just you got to take that small favorite and you believe in them and they cover. And yeah, and then you could save a couple better teams.
No, I did it too. I had like 4 or 5 entries in a Survivor, but I did that too. I took a bunch of pickup games in week one. Like, I had the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, I won with the Steelers in week one. Like, I lost with, what was the one I lost? Who did Indianapolis beat? But yeah, I had that strategy too, Cam. Like, I had like 4 or 5 entries. So I was like, all right.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
I'm going to go a couple where, like, sort of safer here, but I'm just going to attack this.
Dallas is balls, man.
Yeah, I took Arizona, actually. I took Arizona already in one of them. Like, yeah, no, I had a couple of ballsy picks too, Cam, where I was like, yeah, it's a pick 'em and no one's going to do this, but I like it. But I did lose one of them. I did. I was like, and then after, I was like, yeah, I was pretty dumb to take that in week one. I can look it up.
But I'm looking at the Rams now, too, going, but it's a divisional game. They're 5.5. I'm like, San Francisco can hang, but they're banged up. Purdy's toe injury's bad. Like, I don't know, Gabe. You said it. Dallas is -2.5 on the road. Arizona's going to be the popular pick. I don't know what to do. If you don't use Detroit, they're going to murder the Bengals. But and I don't want to use the Bills. So there's got to be what do you feel about this Indianapolis game? This is the type of game the Raiders show up in, getting 6.5 on the road. Like, I don't feel confident with the Colts at all, despite looking very good in all games this year.
I was on the Raiders against the Bears, and I lost. It was super close, but they had the field goal blocked. Yeah. And I keep losing betting against the Colts. I'm always, like, I've lost, like, every Colt game here. Like, the Colts aren't that good. They're not. This is not real. And, you know, I didn't take the Rams this week. I was sort of put off. And one thing with the Rams, yeah, I guess they played pretty good against the Eagles. Ended up blowing it. But they're another one. Like, dude, like, I watched that game against the Colts. They were – They were. It was 20-20 with like a minute left, like 2 minutes left. Like the Rams were lucky to win. It could have went either way. They happened to score a late touchdown, so it looked deceptive. Oh, 27-20. It was like, no, dude, they were losing. Like the Colts were right in that game. The Houston Texans aren't very good this year. You saw the Rams struggled with them, 13-9. You know what I mean? Like, the Rams are one of these teams, Ken, to me, that they're always in close games, man. You know what I mean? Like, if they're an underdog, you know, you take them as – I don't trust the Rams as a favorite. I guess I'll cut to the chase. That's the best way to put it. And if you look at their history, you'll notice that. You're like, yeah, they're good when they go on the road against a good team and stuff. It's like, yeah, you're getting six against a good team. You're getting a three. Well, they screwed us against the Eagles. But the Rams are not a good home favorite. Like, what's like, yeah, they should win this game easily, and they don't. Plus, it's a division game. Plus, 49er fans take that stadium over big time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't trust the Rams at all there. And I personally, we got to look at the injury report. That's the thing with the Niners. Every week, they're always hurt. Everybody's hurt all the time on that team. But I think that Mac Jones, like, I don't think people are like, oh, Brock Purdy's probably going to be out there. So the number move, Mac Jones. Is Brock Purdy better than Mac Jones?
Not
I don't
much.
Know. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, you know I mean, yeah, I guess he's more athletic. Yeah, he is more
but
athletic.
They're almost the same. You're right.
But Mac Jones is like, I'm not a big Mac Jones fan. He's a weird dude, Mac Jones. He's just a weird kid. Like, he dresses, it's really like, dude, like after it's like his laugh, like he's just a weird guy.
He's different.
Like his laugh is like really like awkward. And you have all these NFL quarterbacks and stuff. And like, you know, in the post game press conferences, they'll dress like the way that they are kind of right. Like they don't wear suits and you know, like the guys, like you sort of get their personality a little bit. Like you know, you'll see, all right, this is what he's wearing. Like this is what he's rocking after the game now. And Mac Jones last week, he's talking after the game and he looked like a hobo. Like he looked like it was like a 1950s, 60s. Like people don't even use the word hobo. But
yeah, like with the suspenders and that.
No, like he looked like just sort of like a poor sort of redneck hick type kid.
Not the mind.
And he had like this terrible, terrible like jacket. Like I don't know. Like and I don't want to insult him. I'm going to say like I don't know. Like if he was like a tribute to his grandfather. Like it was one of these. Like dude. Like your jacket is awful. Like. It's so awkward. Like, put it this way. Like, if he was walking down the street almost and he had a tin cup in his hand.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, yeah, I completed the pass. And he did this. And everyone kind of stopped. And that's the whole thing in New England. They were like, yeah, he's a nice kid. But they all said, man, he's really weird. They say he's just a weird dude. Like, but they say he's not a bad guy. But he tells, like, really bad jokes to his teammates and stuff. And some of them are kind of like
off.
Yeah. And they're a little edgy and stuff, but he doesn't deliver the punchline well. You know what I mean?
He's one of those guys.
Yeah. So like, I mean, he like, hey guys, hey, like he's got this weird thing and people are like, whoa, right?
I'm dying.
That's and the thing funny. Is too, he talks smack a lot.
He so does.
Like, even in practice though, with his teammates, like if he completes a pass, like he'll point at them and like he does these things.
Cleats up too, Gabe. Dirty when he slides. Like,
yeah,
God,
he's
dirty
against
guy.
His teammates. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, he's dirty against other players. Like, oh, he's a dirty player. But it's one of those, like I said, they don't, it's not like they don't not like him, but everyone just says, yeah, man, he's a weird dude, man. Like this guy, he's a weird dude. And him and Belichick got into it. Right. So like he was kind of in a weird spot anyway. And I didn't like him. I thought he was overdrafted and all that. And I, you know what? Mm-hmm. I just didn't, you know, I inherently was like, yeah, I don't really like Mac Jones. But over the years now, I see, like I said, he's not a bad person. He's just sort of a weird dude. He's just kind of socially awkward, which is kind of weird for like quarterbacks. That's kind of my point, that quarterbacks are usually kind of pretty. You've got to talk to everyone. Like if you're the quarterback, like, you know what I mean? If you're on a football team, a lot of guys don't talk to each other. You don't even have to know people's names. And like, there's a lot of guys on a team. They don't know what the kicker's name is and stuff. They don't care. Right. Like it sounds crazy to say that, but it's true. Think about it. There's 53 names, 53 guys on a team. You have all the coaches' names. It's a lot of names to remember.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's just, it is. It's a lot of, You know, I remember, man, we were at the Super Bowl. Like I said, the Dallas Cowboys, we had the Cowboys on. And the guy said, I don't know. He goes, I don't know their names on the Bengals, but I know their defense is pretty good. He goes, they got that white guy. I'm like, Trey Hendrickson? He's like, yeah, I guess. Like, yeah, him, yeah. Like, they got the white guy.
That's the best.
I remember, like, I asked a bunch of NFL players, how many Bengals? Because after, I was like, how many Bengals can you name? They all said Joe Burrow. A few knew Chase Brown, but not all of them. like players in the NFL don't care. Like, they don't know who other guys are. They don't know. It's like a number to them. And, oh, yeah, that guy with the dreadlocks is good. Like, right? So, but like I said, as far as Mac Jones, he's just sort of known as just kind of a funky, weird kid. But with that being stated, yeah, Brock Purdy has more upside athletically, but Mac Jones can play. And what Mac Jones has good players around him. He can be effective. I don't really love this game, but I don't trust the Rams in that spot. Like I said, I think the Jets are bad.
What about the Vikings as a survivor pick? That's dangerous too.
Yeah, it's only a 3-3.5 point spread, and not a lot of people will take it. But I do like the Vikings this week due to the situational spot that they're in. Minnesota just played in Dublin, Ireland this week. And now they're playing in London, England. So they go from Dublin to London.
It's not far.
Which is obviously not a geographical issue, but the Cleveland Browns are coming from Cleveland now. There's a massive advantage for the Minnesota Vikings now. We saw the same thing happen with the Buffalo Bills a couple of years ago. The Jacksonville Jags went to London, played in London, and stayed there for two games in a row. And the Jaguars lost the first game that they played, and then they smoked the Bills in the second game. And the Bills, like, brought it up after and said that that was, like, a pile of crap. Like, they basically said, like, yeah, we got into London on Friday night. These guys have been here for 2 weeks. There's a massive difference. You got time. There's a big time zone difference there for real. People always talk about, oh, East Coast, West Coast. Like, that doesn't matter. These teams, like, you talk like Seattle. Seattle always went on the East Coast. You always hear this. Oh, this team's going to struggle on a 1 o'clock start. They don't care. Like, exactly. 3 hours, it is not, like, going to screw your body up.
But six.
They're pros. You start, like, flying 8 hours on a plane and stuff. 7.5 hours, a long flight. You got a weird time difference. Yeah, they're going to bring a lot of their own food, but all it takes is one meal that they all hate and throws everything off. They're going to tell people, do not try the local food. You don't know how you're going to respond to it, right? There's just sort of a lot of – it's not ideal showing up 48 hours before a game. And, like, a lot of these teams do it because they don't want they used to stay, like, the week and stuff, right? And be like, all right, like, we're going to London. We're gonna leave earlier this week. But, like, the Pittsburgh Steelers is a good example. They literally did not leave for Ireland until Friday. So they got there on Friday.
Worked for them.
And Aaron Rodgers basically, like, he kind of complained about it and said,
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
You know, he wasn't a bitch about it. He didn't, like, freak out. But he basically said, you know, it's kind of disappointing that we come to – and he's right. You're going to send these players to these countries. You should at least give them some days to walk around a bit.
Yeah.
And like he said, he goes, you know, we come to Ireland. He goes, I don't get to see any of Ireland. We get here on Friday, and he goes, obviously, I can't do anything. I'm staying in the hotel. And he goes, I haven't seen Ireland at all. I'm going to have to come back. So now you get, like, the Viking players are going to be there, and they're going to get a chance this week to walk around in London and stuff. And then you get the Browns, who will be in this situation where they're just going to show up on Friday and play the game. So it is a big advantage for the Minnesota Vikings. All right, so we're going to wrap it up. We got Major League Baseball playoffs that have begun. Tonight's games, the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees. the Cincinnati Reds and the Los Angeles Dodgers. What's your pick, Cam, for the Yankees and the Red Sox game?
I'm going to take the Red Sox, Gabe, and I think the Red Sox can knock out the Yankees. I'm just very impressed with them down the stretch. Garrett Crochet has been absolutely stunning. Like, this guy's stuff is really, really solid. If you just don't let Judge beat you, you can beat the Yankees. Like the Red Sox, and they're a dog in that game. And as for Cincinnati, I think they'll battle the Dodgers. Maybe some runs in that game, but I'll probably put a parlay in. I'll take the Dodgers. I might have to take them on the run line because they're over -200.
The Dodgers -1.5 is +110, so that's pretty attractive that you're getting plus money. You know what? I'm kind of believing the Dodgers hit. They just faced Green like not that long ago, like it was like late August type stuff. Like, so they just kind of faced him, and they hit him pretty hard. Like they beat him like 7-0 or something like that. But it should be noted, Green pitched against the Dodgers earlier this year, and he pitched very well. I think he gave up one or two runs. I'm not looking at the box score now, but I've already did. Like I said, so one game he got lit up. They played early in the year, and he pitched well against them. So I'm not saying, oh, they're going to light Green up. I think Green's a good pitcher. But to me, the pressure, this is different. The Reds haven't been in the playoffs since like 1995, guys, like or whatever the hell it is. Like it's been forever. And they actually beat the Dodgers the last time they were in the playoffs. So like the Reds haven't been in the playoffs in forever. This is the Dodgers, whatever, dude. Every game's like the playoff game for the Dodgers. I think the intensity factor is going to get to Cincinnati a bit. I think LA, and I think the LA Dodgers are going to scare everybody now. And I know this team, we're going to dial it up a notch now. Like, people are, oh, the Dodgers, whatever, guys. Regular season doesn't matter. Like, it really doesn't matter. Like, the Dodgers are ready to go. They're going to dial it up. I think the Dodgers sweep the Reds. But I think the Dodgers win -1.5 tonight, but I kind of think it goes under. I think that Blake Snell is going to, like, be awesome. I think Blake Snell is going to have a dominant start tonight, and Dodgers win, like, 4-0 or something like that. So we'll lay the 1.5.
It's crazy to see the Dodgers in a wild card game. Like, you're looking at the wild card going, man, there's some good teams in the wild card. I'm, like, looking at it going, like, man, we follow baseball. It's like all of these teams are good. Like, the Yankees can play Boston, Dodgers, like – man, that's weird. It's weird to see these like awesome franchises in the wild card round.
You put yourself in this position.
Yep.
It is what it is, but I'm not really overly panicked about it. And I've always thought too, baseball, guys, is the unique sport in which you do not want time off. Like every other sport you do, like hockey players are like, good man. Thank God. I'm really beat up. We're getting 5 days off right now before the playoffs start. Perfect. Or whatnot, you know, football, the bye week, baseball, guys, baseball, they never are off that long, like ever. Baseball season, they're off one day. Like baseball teams are never, you never get 2 days off. They get one day off every 20 days. So like they're off one day. So suddenly you get these teams like the Phillies, the Mariners, the Blue Jays. They're not going to play baseball for a week.
Scary.
And they have their little, like, they have scrimmages, and they do, like, simulated games, so they play intense type stuff to try to keep, like, they do play simulated games, but it's not the same. And then suddenly you're playing against a team that just played, like, 2 days ago that are super hot, that have confidence coming off a series, and it's only a 5-game series. I've always felt, you know what, Cam, I guess I put my money where my mouth is, because I've always bitched and told people, man, like I always thought the Dodgers were in a tough spot because you always get these teams coming in LA normally, and it's a 5-game series. All the pressure's on the favorite, and now it's going to be on the Phillies. Like, if the Dodgers win, the Phillies are going to be waiting, and people are going to be like, oh, the Phillies have home field advantage and stuff. Good for you. Like, you think the Philadelphia Phillies want to play the Dodgers? They'll be like, oh, God, this is terrible.
I agree with
like,
you.
Think about it, Cam. Like, yeah. They got the Philadelphia Phillies had a great year. And what's their reward to play the Dodgers in the first matchup? Like that's that's not a party.
And that, exactly, you're playing arguably the best team. The Dodgers are when they put it together. And I'll tell you, Gabe, you couldn't said it better. I remember when the Colorado Rockies had that run, and then they had that break, and they got smoked in the World Series against Boston. It just does not work for baseball over time. It's proven tested. Look at the Jays. I'm so excited about these guys. Now you get either Boston, New York, and these guys are going to be hating on each other, and they're going to be fired up as the Jays are sitting there. It's dangerous. You almost want to be in the wild card if you're a really good team. This could be actually advantageous because you said the Dodgers have been beat by the Snakes before in these series, but you know what I mean? That playing is a good thing. I agree with you 100%.
Well, if you're the Toronto Blue Jays, you're in a weird spot because, yeah, you're getting these division rivals that have had more success than you've had in the past. The Blue Jays can't beat the Red Sox. So if you're the Toronto Blue Jays, and the Yankees are going to be tough too, but the Blue Jays beat the Yankees more often than not. For whatever reason, the Blue Jays they win at Yankee Stadium all the time. They win at home, but the Blue Jays cannot beat the Red Sox. Like, we just saw it this past week. Like, the Red Sox own them. So, like, if I'm the Blue Jays, I'm a Blue Jay fan, you got to pick your poison here, but I wouldn't want to play Boston if I was Toronto, just due to the fact that they always, always, always beat them. But we'll be breaking it down. The playoffs are here. Thanks to Rick Saracella, to Ray Jaretta, to Cam Stewart. We'll hit some we're going to start getting our hockey futures in as the hockey regular season is a little more than a week away right now. It's rapidly I guess it's about a week away. About a week away right now. But it's getting real right now. We'll catch you on the grid. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.